Donald on a Kitchen talks about food. Donald on a Kitchen talks recipes. Donald on a Kitchen talks about lots of other things on community radio.
The Donald on a Kitchen show is sponsored in part by the Mucky Duck Pub, where pub means community. More information can be found at www.themuckyduckpub.com or from Marcus at telephone number 232-8888.
Welcome to the Donna Lena Kitchen. My name is Lana Noctigal.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
We gather here once a week to talk about food, farming advice, recipes, and opinions. We gather at the station of KHOI Community Radio. Spring. It's spring. There are some absolutely gorgeous smells in the woods.
We think it's the honeysuckle.
We think. I've kind of been through my lilac smelling phase and my plum blossom smelling phase. Isn't spring just lovely? It is.
I don't know that this is, we could be wrong about this because yes. I don't know. But if you stick your nose in the honeysuckle, and of course, these are wild invasive species, but something in the woods smells really heavenly. And I can't see anything else blooming but the honeysuckle. But when you stick your nose in the bush, you don't smell it. It must be one of those. There are like mock orange, I think, is like that. It moves.
It wafts.
It wafts.
Good. Yes. Good. Well, today. Oh, we have a news item. Quick news item here. Tick-a-tick from the Donalana Kitchen News Department off our ticker tape. We've been, and the people have been talking about this. There is some major tree cutting along Iowa Creek, which runs through Ames. Iowa Creek used to be called Squaw Creek, but now it's called Iowa Creek.
Right on Duff. It's like a total heartbreaking eyesore of clear cutting right along the river.
It's kind of shocking.
When I first saw it, like what, 6 weeks ago maybe or something, it was like, looks like a war zone. It's just terrible.
Anyway, people are kind of reacting to this, and I do believe that the city does have plans to do some flood mitigation stuff, but it looks pretty sad right now.
Yes, and you read an article in
the Ames Tribune. There was someone from
this yesterday or something.
Oh, I think it was Friday's
paper. Okay.
Someone that said, well, I'm upset too. It was a ISU environmental scientist person talking and was kind of shocked by the whole shebang. And well, we hope that they put it together, put it back better than how they found it.
Well, I saw the pictures and it does, you know, it'll be finely manicured, apparently. I don't know. But you said in the article that this environmental ecologist was suggesting, why did they wipe out everything at once? They could have done it to not be so harmful to the wildlife and to be more selective in it and to not just do this, run the bulldozer through the whole thing. But I have to say, it was nice to hear that I wasn't the only person in the community it really was a kind of heartbreaking. You look and there's the river, which is part of our, you know, it's just always been there. The river is still there, but it had a buzz cut. And I was glad to see that there was an article in the Tribune, not an editorial, but an article saying maybe this wasn't the best way to go about this. And the city did acknowledge. What did they say?
Well, they said they do a little more research next time.
Have a little more public input into the discussion. Well, oh, gee, what a good idea. What a civic practice, you know.
Anyway, we'll keep our eyes and our thoughts.
Well, the trees are gone now, so.
yep. We'll do that. Well, today, Donna.
Yes.
Since we can't do anything about the trees right now, we are going to talk about something that you said, well, I want to talk about this. We're going to talk about asparagus. Have at it. Donna, what's up with asparagus?
Yeah, we've been doing so many you know, environmental ag policy things. And after a while, it does get depressing. You know, I mean, we get outraged, but then what are we going to do? So I did go to the farmer's market last Saturday. It was chilly and windy, but everybody was there in very good spirits. And there was a lot of course, rhubarb, which we did last week, but of course, beautiful, beautiful asparagus. So it is that time of year. And I love asparagus. To me is such a perfect thing that you know, the main thing is to not overcook it. You know, I mean, first of all, there is that little trick where you kind of bend it in your fingers and let it snap at the point where the woodier part, it's a feel thing, you know, and when it feels right, it snaps off. So you do that. And my favorite way of doing it is to turn the oven on real high, like 450 or something, and then line all the asparagus up single file on a cookie sheet, basically. And I do a little spray olive oil, sprinkle a tiny bit of salt. And if I really want to dress it up, I put some lemon zest on it. Or you can put the lemon zest after you pull it out of the oven. But you got to do it real quick.
How quick?
Well, it depends on the thickness of the asparagus. You know, the thin ones, of course, cook faster. I usually pull one out and test it. And you know, if it's lost its bright green, you have gone too far already. And because if you've roasted it with the seasonings on it, you don't want to blanch it in cold water. I just roll it off onto the counter or right off the pan onto the counter and spread it out so that it's not touching each other, which helps it cool faster. Mm-hmm. The classic way, of course, is to steam it and blanch it, mm-hmm. and then you can control it better. Mm-hmm. In terms of the temperature, but there's so many, you know, I mean, asparagus, first of all, it goes wonderful with lemons and things and tarragon and dill. It also is good with Asian foods. It's very easy to cover the flavor of it though. So you don't want a whole lot of seasonings on it. What's the classic one where you, oh yes, I haven't done this for years. You wrap it, you cook it and then wrap it in prosciutto.
Oh, for goodness
and
sake.
Then pour hollandaise sauce on it.
Isn't that kind of, isn't that what
that
they call?
Is gilding
the lily.
Right.
Okay.
It's delicious.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but then the asparagus becomes just a carrier. Or, oh, I saw something else. This was, I think Paula and Gio, my friends, brought some of this over. It was not asparagus wrapped in bacon, but it was asparagus wrapped in slices of pork belly and put on the grill.
Really?
That was really good because it looked like bacon and you expected it, but it wasn't. It mm-hmm. just was that nice juicy fat on the asparagus. It was delicious. I think that was maybe a Chinese version or something. The other thing, if you want to get a little fancy, this is something I did one time that was lots and lots of fun, is I made an asparagus tureen.
Ah.
So you have to cook the asparagus first, right? Then to make the tureen, so you can use a loaf pan. You don't need a tureen pan, but you know, like a regular bread loaf pan. But you line the asparagus up the long way in the pan, mm-hmm. so that when you slice into it, you get this lovely slice of all these little like green polka dots.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah, it's really fun. So to make a tureen, and this is here, these are two summer cold dishes that you might think about for when you need to, since we might start entertaining again, you know.
You and think?
I hope so. It's coming. So a tureen is basically something that is held together usually with gelatin of some sort. So my asparagus tureen, my most straightforward one is to just take some chicken stock, add some lemon juice. I like the lemon on the asparagus and some zest. You could easily chop in some herbs. What would we put? Garlic chives, not too many because you don't want it too strong. But a little
dill, chervil, parsley.
Parsley's a little flat. Yeah, and it's too early for basil. But you know, you can put some seasoning in there. A little salt and pepper, of course. And if your chicken stock is not gelatinous enough, which most of the time it's not gelatinous enough to hold a tureen shape, you add some gelatin to the chicken
broth. Now, this is not jello. This is gelatin.
Right, gelatin powder, unflavored, right?
So gelatin with a G, not jello with a J.
So what you could do, there are two ways. You can either unmold the terrine or you can just slice it in the pan. But if you want to unmold it, a little coating of spray olive oil or something like that on the pan will help it. And if it's got enough gelatin, you can unmold it the way you would a jello, you know, by immersing it in hot water. Don't get any water on the top of the terrine, but, you know, set the pan in some warm water, just enough that it starts to loosen, and then put a plate on top of it, flip the whole thing over. And then you have this nice, like, green loaf.
Like meatloaf, except it's asparagus loaf.
Right. Now, of course, you can use the terrine form for lots and lots of other things. And it's hard to make it vegetarian because, of course, the gelatin. I have heard, though I don't do this myself, that you can make an aspic out of agar-agar. That's a seaweed.
Okay.
And you can buy that, like, probably at Wheatsfield or something like that. So if you wanted to. So the classic aspic is tomato, which is the same thing, just tomato juice or with fresh tomato bits when we get to that season. But the gelatin base molded thing, and it makes a lovely presentation for a cold supper.
Huh. Well,
like I did a chicken mousse terrine a few years ago. Do you remember that?
I remember.
I've never had
asparagus terrine.
No, because I don't do it very often.
Oh, okay.
But you know what? I might get around to it. You never know if I'm inspired.
You never know.
The other thing, since it's picnic coming up, the other cold thing that's lovely to make, because of course you can make meat terrines or fish terrines or, you know, all kinds of things like that. But a little more portable one for traveling, if you're doing a picnic, is something called rillettes, R-I-L-L-E-T-T-E-S. So the classic rillette is actually pork. And it's kind of like a pulled pork. You stew the pork down with whatever, because you could make that one spicy, you could make it herby, you could make it, you know, but the point is it's like a potted meat. You can put it in a canning jar and it has plenty of fat. So
like
whether
that.
It's pork fat or, and you can do it with like a chicken rillette, which is very nice. It's kind of like a chicken salad, but you smash the meat up or tear it and tenderize it to the point where it's slightly spreadable. It still has shreds in it, but it's lovely for sandwiches and like if you put it in little jars, it makes a lovely gift to give to somebody. The other thing that's often are fish rillettes. Salmon is the most common because it's fatty. The point is to put extra fat in to make it spreadable, kind of like butter. So those are two kind of summery cold vegetable and or meat presentations that are good to think about for the coming season.
And we've got asparagus. I'm glad you talked about rillettes because, you know, I like to go through recipe books and I see something like that and I was going to, you know, say, well, I'm going to have a rillette tonight. It's not a rillette.
Don't be intimidated. Rillettes are really, really easy to make. It's just kind of like pulled pork, but be sure to leave enough fat in it and not necessarily barbecued flavor.
Somehow that doesn't, well, also if we're talking asparagus, I don't think barbecue asparagus flavor is very good. No.
Oh, well, but for rillette, I mean, you could make a barbecued rillette, I suppose.
Yeah.
But we have so many other good barbecue things that it's...
Both of these things, a terrine and a rillette, you know, sound very summery, picnicky.
I did buy, at the farmer's market. Okay, at the farmer's market, I did buy a lemon thyme plant, which I love. But the problem with the lemon thyme is that lemon in that, the least bit of heat and the whole flavor is just gone. So if you were making a rillette and you let it cool down, and once it was at room temperature, you drop some of the lemon thyme in it, like a fish rillette. Well, but even pork would be good with lemon thyme in it. I'm looking forward to the summer season.
Oh, very good.
Yes.
Very good. Well, we'll be back talking more about asparagus and summer things. But guess what, folks? This is a time to turn our attention toward this fine radio station and keeping this fine radio station on the air. And joining us to help us keep this fine radio station on the air is Carol Horowitz.
Here I am, and I'm having the best time, and I can't wait to buy my asparagus later today, and I know how to fix it. And I think everybody needs to know, your listeners know, that we have KHOI Community Radio. We've started our fund drive, and we're going to talk to you today and through the next couple of weeks about how you can support the station, and we can listen to Donna and Lana and the other wonderful programs that are given, that are offered to audiences on 89.1 FM. And so we don't know a lot about, or you've been on the air for a while, ladies. Tell us when you started, and tell us what inspired you to share your knowledge of cookery with us. When did it all start, ladies?
It was an accident.
It was. Christmas of 2014, believe it or not, station manager Ursula Rudenberg says, you know, you two should be on the radio. And we said, no.
Right. She wanted to just she wanted to talk about Christmas food. And so we said, okay. And we were both there at the same time, and we did it together, and it just happened.
I mean,
the chemistry was undeniable, Lana.
Right. Actually, we got to know each other during this. We had met at potlucks before and sort of knew each other, but we've been at this since Christmas of 2014. So we've been at this a while, and who knows where in the world the time went.
But we can tell from your patter that you are friends, and tell us, how do you make decisions about what you're going to be talking about each episode?
Carol, it's show. It's nothing but divine inspiration. There's no rhyme or law. I mean, we do stick to food and agriculture topics. That's our, that's our, you know, but anything under that umbrella that interests us.
Now, do you encourage our listeners to join you and with ideas?
And that happens sometimes. You ought to talk to so-and-so, or everybody's too shy to be on the radio themselves, but, oh, you ought to talk to, so that helps too. Also, we read a lot. Donna very much keeps up on food policy and organic standards and stuff. I'm always interested in farming things and growing things. And we always read in cookbooks, and that helps. There's always
it's a lot more than recipes. It's edification. You're training us to I learned a lot today just being part of your show. And so we're encouraging people to donate, to give become members, and to join in, because we have a show that you're doing now on KHOI Community Radio 89.1 FM, and we learned about asparagus, and the thing too, Donna, is that you told us about the farmers market, because people possibly didn't know that the farmers market is available and open. And what do we get at the farmers market now in this time of year?
Well, community, for one thing.
Oh, yes. After a long, cold year of kind of holing up, really, there are people there. There are people pushing baby buggies.
Yeah, people out with their kids and their dogs. And yeah. There was a petting zoo.
But
and
then you get to know these farmers. And I don't know, a long time ago, somebody said it's food with a face. You get, I got eggs from so-and-so. This time of year, you'll find like Donna said, rhubarb and asparagus, radishes,
flowers,
early sink, and there's
plants.
There are people that have hoop houses and indoor growing things. So there are lettuces and greens and that kind of thing. Yeah, and crafts and plants. If you're thinking about your garden, go and
are masks required?
Highly encouraged, and I think it's not a big deal to wear your mask. Yeah.
Well, not, but you know what? Last Saturday, it was so windy. I mean, I wore my mask, but I'll tell you, that was super ventilated down there. It was really an issue.
It was mighty cold, and they had their graduation on Saturday. Iowa State had their graduation, and those people sat in the stands outdoors with blankets and hats. And anyway, we're having a very cold spell. Is that going to delay the farmers this year because it's so cold now?
Well, actually, I don't know about people that put things in with big tractors, but talking to my friends that grow vegetables, and a lot of us are just kind of, you can put the seeds in the ground. Okay, that should be warm enough. And things like onions and garlic and leeks and that kind of stuff is okay. It has been cold for starting anything. And so as far as I'm concerned, my little tomato plants, I'm preparing the beds, but I usually have that sort of stuff in by now. And
Lana has a greenhouse at her house.
Well, so so everything's kind of on hold. So I think it's going to be late, but one nice thing, talking to other farmers, you learn all these tricks. It is so good. And they do a good job of bringing us food any old which way. So I think things are going to be a little late. For one thing, cold. For another thing, we need rain.
Yes, we
do. Do we ever? Yeah. Well, you know, I'm so happy to be part of your show today and to introduce people to the idea that they can support your show. They can support KHOI Community Radio and get and learn more about the things that I learned about today. So I will let you ladies continue your show.
And
I will return when you invite me later in the show.
We'll have you back real quick here. I want to remind folks you're listening to KHOI, a fine community radio station. And this is the Donna Lana Kitchen, tasty radio for the heart of Iowa. Welcome back. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. We are talking about asparagus today. And I just want to say a little bit about the music you just heard. I always try to be kind of Johnny on the spot and kind of blend things.
She's thematic.
Yeah, thematic. Kind of keep our theme together and kind of design this show so it is music to your ears. And anyway, the music that I picked out for today is from one of my favorite dance bands. They're called Wild Asparagus. Haha, notice the connection there. Wild Asparagus is a dance band from New England someplace, and they have been just a really fine bunch of people. They play for contra dances. And as soon as this darn COVID-19 is over, I am looking forward on getting back into the dance floor. And
yes, an aside is to remind you that Lana is actually a professional dance caller,
if there is such a thing. But yes, and I can't wait because dancing is good. And anyway, that was Wild Asparagus. We will hear more from them later. You heard the tune was called The Jug of Punch and Pinch of Snuff. Oh, whatever. But anyway, more back to asparagus. Well, Donna was talking about the simple way to make asparagus, you know, don't overcook it. And also asparagus terrines and rillettes, R-I-L-L-E-T-S, rillettes, all this cool, nice summer stuff that we can have. I think that sounds absolutely delicious. Well, asparagus is like one of those wonderful seasonal things that we'll eat a whole lot of it right now.
Yeah, and, I mean, you can usually find it all year round in some damn store. But this time of year is when it's really, really good and really, really welcome. And it's fun. You know, asparagus makes good finger food. You know, just a little like I was thinking of another recipe. There's another Italian thing, not French, Italian. It's called bagno caldo, which is actually, it's a sauce. You make this warm sauce that's mostly anchovies and olive oil and garlic, right? And then you serve it with a pile of vegetables. And some of them are raw and some of them are cooked, depending on, you know, what the vegetable is. So a plate of raw asparagus just served with a little dipping sauce of anchovies, garlic, and olive oil, or chilies, or any old thing that you want. It's so fun. You just can, you know, children like it. It's a good way to get children to eat vegetables, maybe.
Very good. Very good.
With your fingers.
With your fingers, because everything works. That's good. Well, also, my good friend, Emily Rose, she brought me a jar of asparagus soup.
Oh yes, night. Asparagus soup.
Now see, it's kind of like asparagus is kind of like strawberries or watermelon or sweet corn. Just many ways you can have it. And this asparagus soup was really good. Really good because it wasn't just asparagus, of course. What also is available in bunches this time of year is nettles. If you want to
stinging nettles.
Wild nettles. And Emily and her partner, Ben, would do this sort of thing. I saw them out there gathering a whole bunch of nettles, and I knew it was going to be good. And then she put that with the asparagus. And the soup also had a little bit of potato cooked.
For thickener,
And they cooked it in mushroom sauce or mushroom
broth.
Cooked down dried mushrooms until you get the broth. And there was that ever good. And then she pureed it a little bit. It wasn't to death. It wasn't mushy. It was just kind of slightly, I don't know, can you do soup a la dunt? It was just really good.
It sounds, I mean, that's a really interesting combination, because the nettles would give it more earthy flavor, which would go with the mushroom broth. Normally, in a classic asparagus soup is usually chicken broth or vegetable broth. You keep it really, really light. It's usually a cream of asparagus
soup. This is a pureed of.
So normally the classic would probably involve some cream and or milk. And potato is the emulsifier thing, but you would run it through a blender, and then you would probably maybe even run it through a food strainer to make it. I mean, it's a little, it's a process.
And does it ever taste good for you? What was
and it's green, yeah. green, green.
It is green, green, green. And what was nice about this, it had just, at the end of it, you go, oh, what was that? There was something kind of hot in it. Not hot, hot, just kind of gave you a kick there at the end. And I asked, and Emily kind of looked a little sheepish. Well, she said, I sort of cleaned out my refrigerator, which is just the way I like to cook. And she said, there was this jar of hot sauce in there. So she gave it a little shake, and somehow that worked really well. It wasn't super
delicious.
Hot. It was just a little kick of it. I thought it was pretty darn good.
That's a good way to use nettles too. And what packed with nutrition, my goodness, between the asparagus and the nettles.
Do I ever feel healthy? It's good. That's wonderful. Asparagus. Oh, and guess what? First time this year that I've actually tasted them. Those, she had brought from her father's garden, Emily did, a kind of asparagus that was lovely. It was bright purple, folks.
Oh, that's right. Asparagus comes in colors. It's not all green.
Right. It's kind of rare, but I've seen it in catalogs and I thought, mm-hmm. oh, right. Sure, right. But this was big and luscious. She said it was called a purple passion from her father's garden.
It does turn green when you cook it, though.
Just like purple beans mm-hmm. or purple. Well, they have purple. I think there's like purple cabbage and purple
broccoli.
Which
does not turn green. It kind of goes gray.
Gray. But it turned bright green. It's kind of disappointing, but it still is awfully good. So that was
well, and there is, you will see in the market sometimes white asparagus, which means that it has been, as they say, cloched or covered so that the sun actually doesn't get to it when it sprouts. So it is not a different variety. It is a different, it's a very fussy, fancy growing technique, which fortunately we don't see a lot of in Iowa. It's just not necessary, but that's what it is if you see it in the store.
It seems a bit overdone. I've never seen it as a fresh vegetable to cook. I see white asparagus, put it in jars. I mean, it's very pretty, and sometimes it's pickled, but that's okay.
Pickled might be okay. Canned asparagus, I can't say I have much interest in it.
No, I think that's why, well, that's how I first experienced asparagus, out of a can, and it was amazingly gray.
And stringy. And insipid.
But even then, we eat it because it was good for you. Okay, well, all right. So there are different kinds of asparagus.
Yeah, just eat it now while there's so much of it and it's so good, and eat it and eat it and eat it till the season is over. And then there'll be another season. There'll be something else.
And next. Three cheers for those that grow asparagus. I'll talk more later about growing asparagus. Now, I have done it in the past, but I have not followed up on it because It's kind of complicated. And not only is it tricky, it's more fuss than I want to do. And also, I know all these other nice people that grow asparagus. I often say when people ask me about gardening, you grow what you love. You want to fuss with what you want to fuss with. And every kind of vegetable has kind of a different trick.
Takes a different personality for each vegetable,
I think,
right?
So. Okay. I just don't have the desire, I guess, to do asparagus. I mean, I'll have the desire to eat it. It is so lovely. And Donna mentioned about the woody part at the end where the asparagus grows up and the part that is growing right out of the ground. Unless you get it really, really young, the bottom of it will be a bit tough because it will grow and grow and grow. And eventually, it's what, like every other plant, it's trying to make seed that is trying to propagate itself. It'll turn into this small feathery tree, actually, and try to make seed.
Kind of pretty, actually.
Yeah, it will. But you have to catch it before it starts branching out and making turning into a tree. So when you pick, you can either cut it off with a knife at ground level, but you don't have to do that. You can break it where it breaks off close to the ground. That's usually all the good parts on top of it. Oh, asparagus. Good things. And speaking of good things, we have this good, very good community radio station. Carol Horowitz, join us again and tell us about this fine radio station.
I certainly will, and thank you for introducing me again. The fund drive started on May 9th. We are seeking $40,000, and this amount includes money that we raised the other day with a wonderful benefit concert featuring two very wonderful country western stars, and Beau Ramsey and Chad Elliott appeared at Stevens Auditorium to make us happen. They made that continue to make KHOI community radio happen because it was a fundraiser, and there were people there who loved that concert, and they donated their money to enjoy that concert. So we're seeking $40,000. We could probably take in a little more, and you know, if they want to, they can call 515-292-2878. Or you can call the studio. They can interrupt your wonderful show and your nettles and your greenhouses and all your talents at 515-232-0365. Call that number, 515-232-0365, and you'll get to talk to the two stars of Donna and Lana's cooking show. Now, it's not difficult to be a member, and it's important that you support this station, because we have these wonderful shows that you're able to just tune in, 89.1 FM. So a basic membership is $60 a year. And that's only $5 a month, and you get total entertainment. What do you pay for video? But you, on KHOI, it's only $5 a month, and you get community radio. You learn more about your community, and also there are syndicated shows. There's a household membership is $100 a year, and of course if you're really enjoying the KHOI, you can give more than that and really keep us on the air. A friend membership is $250. A major donor is $1,000, but you could, you know, dig deep. $1,000 a year, and you can have total entertainment 24/7. So if you call, I'm going to interrupt these ladies because the phone is just going to ring off the hook when they call at 515-232-0365. Don and Lana are, because of the pandemic, they're not in the studio, but Mike Murphy is. And so Mike Murphy will intercept these wonderful calls when you decide to support your community radio station. So, and it costs. I'm invited to come back. In case you're tired of me, you're going to get me again one more time on this wonderful show. And so, anyway, I'll turn everything over to the ladies. But please, it's important for all of us that you support this station. Thank you.
Thanks, Carol. That was good. And it is important. This is really, truly, this is funded by us. If we are in your ears right now, put us in your heart and dig deep.
We're all volunteers. What you're paying for in your donations is, you know, the studio rental, the equipment maintenance, the electricity, you know, the basics. The rest of us are all pitching in on a volunteer basis with our time and our our skill set, as it were.
What's nice is that we get a wonderful variety of stuff because everybody is on this station presenting what they're passionate about. We talk about food, but other people are passionate about all kinds of things. All
different kinds of music, too.
And, different kinds of music.
And then the local talk stuff where you get really very specific local information that has been very extremely helpful and encouraging during the pandemic. So
very good. So support this station. This is KHOI. This is Community Radio. This is the Donalana Kitchen. And find out more about this station and the Donalana Kitchen at the website, khoifm.org. Welcome back. Welcome back. This is the Donalana Kitchen. Well, let's get out into the garden a little bit with our thoughts. It's such a beautiful day out there. What have you been planting, Donna?
Oh, I got some more shiso. I love having shiso, which is also known as perilla. Shiso is the Asian name. Perilla is the more Italian name. And it's one of those herbs like Anise hyssop too, that if you get it in the garden, it will drop its seeds and it will come again next year, sometimes in a different place, but it will show up again. So a couple of years ago, I don't know what I was thinking, but I harvested the shiso, all of it, too early, and it did not drop seeds. And then the next year I hardly had any shiso and I was just heartbroken. So, I was at the farmer's market on Saturday, as I said, and at Fisher Farms, which is now at the downtown market, which is where I bought my original shiso, she had shiso plants. So I bought some and I am starting all over again. She has three varieties, the Asian one, which is all green leafed, and my favorite culinary one, the Korean one, which is like green on one side and red on the other. I find that one, it's very attractive, but it's a little more bitter. And then the perilla, she calls them all perilla. And the other one is the red one, which is glorious in color. In fact, if you get it and it spreads around your garden, you'll have all these little scarletish purple spikes here and there, like Helen Gunderson has a lot in her garden. So I was very excited. I'm starting down the shiso path again. Things that you can do with it. Well, certainly I like it with, if I'm making, it's very traditional, like at the end of a sushi meal at a restaurant, they will serve you a shiso leaf to eat. It is a digestive. It also, it's wonderful in vodka. If you put it, either muddle it for a cocktail or even let it steep in vodka and, you know, you have your own mixer all winter long. It's good in vinegar. It's just another herb option. So I was very excited to see Fisher Farms has shiso again.
Yeah. People might think you're growing basil. It sort of is in the same mint basil family.
Bigger leaves,
but it looks sort of basil-y.
Like a ruffled basil, kind of.
And it probably won't do too badly, even if we don't get too much.
No, and they grow, they start slow. They're late in the season, but they get really tall, like 3 feet, bushy, beautiful. I mean, you can plant them just for ornamental because they're so pretty.
There you go. Well, you can also plant asparagus, but I have tried it a few times and decided that for all the fuss in my small little space that I put it, I'd let somebody else do it. So, but if you do want to plant asparagus, now asparagus is kind of a prehistoric kind of plant. You can plant it from seeds, but then it takes a good 3 years before you even can think about harvesting it. So nice people at nurseries and garden supply stores will, if you look in their cooler along with the strawberry plants this time of year, you can find these things that look like squid or octopus. And really, truly, that is asparagus. They have this kind of center globule and then all of these tentacles like a spider coming up from either
side. So it's just a piece of the root, basically.
Yeah, right. I'm not an expert on this, but reading from when I try to find out anything, I have a very, very old copy of Crockett's Victory Garden. Remember that show on PBS way back in the 70s? And he has kind of a nice little bit on growing asparagus, and asparagus matures very, very slowly. You can cut off years of maturation time by planting the roots. 1-year-old roots are probably good, but then if you plant 1-year-old roots, you still have to wait. You do not harvest them the first year. You dig a big trench about a foot deep and fill it 4 inches full of compost, something that'll give it a lot of oomph. And then in this little trench, you lay out this spider. It's about as big as your hand, actually. There's this little lump in the middle, and you spread out the roots going sideways, and then you cover it with 3-4 inches of more soil, and kind of tamp it down and help it along. James Underwood Crockett, the writer of this advice, is big on commercial fertilizers, but you could use other ways of fertilizing with compost or compost tea. And then as it grows, little hairy things will come up, sort of looking like dill to start.
Yeah, it's feathery.
Feathery. Mm-hmm. You can bring in more soil from the side and cover the stalks as they grow. And be patient. Even the first year, keep your harvest to a minimum. So as many stems will be left to grow and nourish the plants in the following year. And be careful about harvesting. It's a bit fussy. And you have to weed it and it's a fuss, but it is well worth it. So, like I said,
well, once you get the patch established, it can go for years.
Yes. Actually, before we decided to have the chemical and tidying war on roadside ditches, people used to find it growing in the
wild. That's right. Stalking the wild asparagus.
With wet feet, and there they are. Once you knew where a patch was, you could go back every year. But we have to fuss with it now. So 3 cheers for those folks that do that.
Yes, it's a good thing. And it's a little like growing corn. You know, you can't just grow 3 asparagus plants like you would. For corn, you need space. You know, you don't want just a row of corn. You need a lot of
bunches.
Yeah. Good. So people with larger spaces can have the asparagus, and it does come back year after year, like rhubarb kind of.
I put
my rhubarb in about 3 years ago, and now this year it's beautiful. I can harvest it abundantly, and I think it looks pretty in the garden.
I think so too. Yeah. Isn't it? Isn't gardening just wonderful? We'll have Carol Horowitz back in a minute, but I have an upcoming event here. And I thought this was worth mentioning. It's from the good folks at the Story County Conservation organization here in town. And they have lots of programs. So guess what? This coming Thursday, it's frog jumping day. Who knew? Who knew that May 13th was frog jumping day? But it is. We'll celebrate, and by learning about these little creatures, you can spend the day outside, catch frogs, discover things about frogs. And the program is free. Go to Story County Conservation and find out more. It's at 4 p.m. The program has happened already. However, You can find out more because this really is a national frog jumping day. Is Thursday, May 13th.
How about if you read, what's that famous Mark Twain story, The Jumping Frog of Calaveras County or something?
You even remembered. I just remembered the jumping part.
Yeah, you can read that to your children on May 13th or to yourself.
Jumping, frog jumping. How nice. So let's hear a little bit more about this fine radio station. Carol Horowitz, come back to the microphone.
I certainly will. And I didn't know. Look what I learned about frog jumping on Thursday. And I'll give a plug to my show. KHOI Previews the Arts is on at noon. I don't know whether from noon to one. And I could promote that frog jumping contest as well.
Certainly there might be music or a play or something's got frogs in it. I don't know.
Mark Twain.
Lots do indeed. And so, but just again, help us to stay on the air. Help us to produce the shows like we're listening to and having a lot of fun. And we're going to be eating all different styles of rhubarb, well, not so much rhubarb, but maybe for asparagus. But call us at 515-292-2878 and become a member for $5 a month, $60 a year. A household member is $100 a year. A friend membership is $250. You get so much for this, for a little bit that we have to outlay for each month. But let me tell you that this station, I think people take for granted what this station, how it spends its money, because its talent is generally volunteer. Most everybody who participates in KHOI Community Radio is giving of their time as a gift to you and to the community. There's some modest sums of money that are shared with some of the very talented people behind the scenes. But we have to rent a tower. We have to just the studio building rental in Ames, we have to pay for that. And then we get national programs, we pay for that. And then a modest amount for our staff. And then there's insurance. And then there's the phone bills and the internet and the utilities. Help us stay on the air. Help us have fun with Donna and Lana and participate. You can come to at 410 Douglas Avenue and leave a check, fill out a application and give us a check for to keep us on the air. There's PayPal. There's all sorts of ways to support KHOI Community Radio. It's worth it. It fills your time, and it's radio. And also, if you want to, you can call the studio, and Mike Murphy is there, 515-232-0365, and tell him how much you want to pledge to keep KHOI Radio, Community Radio, on the air. And thank you, ladies, for allowing me to share your hour with you. I've had a very good time.
Good. Thanks to Carol Horowitz for joining us at the kitchen table today. Yes, we really are volunteers. I mean, you couldn't tell that, right? Anyway, yeah. It's a pleasure. And this is community. This is community radio.
And we also have to thank our underwriters at this point also. That is their donation, and our underwriter is the Mucky Duck Pub.
Yes, thanks to Marcus. He stuck with us. And we, as we're coming out of this COVID thing, let's kind of get back into really face-to-face community. We're mouth to ear right now. You've been listening to the Donalana Kitchen. We had music today by Wild Asparagus. We'll go out with a waltz from Wild Asparagus. My name is Lana Noctigal.
And I'm Donna Prisgentas.
We've had fine engineering by Mike Murphy, as usual. Support this radio station, eat good food, and enjoy life.